Welcome to the Voices of Marketing Podcast. And now your host, John Shea.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. Today on the show, I have Srini Rao. He's actually formerly from a podcast that he hosted called Blogcast FM, and he's now rebranded his show. He's got a new show called The Unmistakable Creative, and Srini's on the show today to kind of talk about his story, maybe talk a little bit about podcasting, kind of his online entrepreneur journey. So welcome, Srini.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. So do you kind of want to, you know, start out, just share your story, talk a little bit about how you got involved with, I guess, in general, podcasting, online marketing?
Yeah, basically where it started was between my first and second year of business school, I was the social media intern for Intuit's TurboTax group, where basically my job was to basically help them with all their social media efforts. Bear in mind, this was summer of 2008, when everybody was finally saying, okay, now we got to start paying attention to this. So a lot of companies were looking at that. That wasn't actually my first choice in terms of jobs, but I also realized, I had an offer from Yahoo, I had an offer from Intuit. And, you know, I knew that what I was going to do at Intuit would actually enhance my skill set. I thought, you know, this is probably going to be very important to learn about. So I went in with the idea that I'm here to learn. Meanwhile, you know, I didn't get to work on a lot of projects. You know, the whole internship was a bit weird because it was condensed into 3 months. I started earlier than most people, and I just started dabbling in content creation, blogs, and stuff. I got a lot more interested in what was actually happening than the job itself. And you know, coincidentally, and not surprisingly, I didn't get a job offer at the end of it because I was just busy dabbling with my own projects and stuff. But I walked away with a pretty keen interest in content creation and social media and all this stuff, not knowing where it was going to lead. But then 6 months later, I graduate from business school in April 2009, which is like the worst imaginable time to graduate from anywhere. And I knew I had to do something to stand out in the job market. And I knew that using the web in an interesting way was going to be absolutely necessary if I was going to do that. Like, I knew that, you know, sending resumes wasn't going to cut it because my resume didn't really have anything all that impressive. Like, I'd never built anything. I'd never made anything. There was no tangible evidence of what I said I could do. And so, you know, I'd started a few different projects. One was called 100 Reasons You Should Hire Me, which was just this epic failure. And then as a byproduct of that, I kind of picked myself up and I said, okay, you know what, I got to figure out how to do this the right way. And I joined this course, and it was a blogging course, you know, with lessons, and every week there would be a lesson in my inbox. And so I would just do the lesson. And after about 17 lessons, lesson 17 or so, one of the lessons was interview people. And so I branded the interview series as a weekly thing called Interviews with Up-and-Coming Bloggers. This was before, you know, I think the iPhone had just come out at that time, so podcasting wasn't so as prevalent as it is today. And, you know, I think what's interesting is that I didn't know where it was going to lead. I didn't start out with a plan to grow a podcast. I didn't start out with a plan to build this big thing. I just said, you know, this is interesting. And after about 13 interviews, one of the guys who I had interviewed came back to me and he said, hey, you know, I think that you may be onto something here, but I don't think it's going to survive if you try to integrate it into your School of Life blog, which was the other blog that started. So that was the start of Blogcast FM. And here we are, something like, you know, 400 interviews later, 5 years later, and it's just grown significantly over the years. Now, I think to be very candid, we've been the beneficiary of a 4-year head start on a trend. I was podcasting before it was cool, is the way
right,
I would put it.
Right. Yeah, it seems like everyone's doing it now. And yeah. I know for me, I kind of came upon the idea like December of not this past year, but the year before. So it's been a little over a year for me, but I mean, it's been interesting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that in a nutshell is kind of what brings us to today. I mean, in that process, I've written books. I've wrote a book called The Art of Being Unmistakable, which through a series of freakish coincidences, but went and became a Wall Street Journal bestseller. And I mean, throughout this whole process, I mean, you know, I got into the point, I think, where really my shift turned into I am an artist, not a marketer. And I'm much more interested in artists than I am in marketers. I'm not interested in teaching, like, you know, one of the time somebody asked me to give a talk on the ROI of podcasting. I said, I have no fucking idea, you know, what the ROI of podcasting is. Yeah. Because, you know, that's just not what I do. And so that really kind of has informed a lot of the way I approach my work and kind of what I do and the projects I choose to work on. And I've been very fortunate in that we've got an amazing community of listeners and people who really have supported the work.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting. I listened to your your new podcast, The Unmistakable Creative, and I was interested in the episode in particular that was about picking guests.
Uh-huh.
That's something I've found to be very interesting with my own podcasting journey.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole picking guests thing, I mean, I think that to me is a large part of my sort of intuitive sense as an artist. I mean, I think that in and of itself is part of the art, like picking the right people to interview and choosing the stories to tell. Because, I think that what I do is, like, what I create is a form of entertainment. Yeah, maybe there's lessons and there's education, but entertainment is actually one of the bigger things. And I think that's a part of the conversation that has been very lacking from, sort of the entrepreneurial ecosystem, if you will, sure. Of podcasting, where everybody's like, oh, you should start a podcast. It's the greatest thing to grow your business. And then everybody's just interviewing the same people on every single podcast. And so I think that, I have a somewhat ruthless standard. I mean, I've been known to do really crazy things like cut interviews in the middle of them, not publish them at all. It's not, I mean, you're not, that you don't make friends that way. But again, that's not the goal. The goal is to provide value to your listeners. I say that I'm ruthless, but it's in service of other people.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I could totally see that. I know, there was a fellow that, I found on, he was blogging and doing all these really creative things with his blog and just writing really great content, but he wasn't, he wasn't from the United States, so his English wasn't the best, and I had him on, and I had to, like, really zone in and focus, and, I published it anyways, but I thought to myself, oh my God, like, when people listen to this, they're probably going to cringe, and, like, I don't think they're going to make it through the whole thing, because, it was just, but the guy, like, he had a great story. It's just, everyone's got these different, like, angles and where their backgrounds are from, and what kind of content they're actually going to share when you have them on your show,
Yeah, definitely.
But I thought it'd be interesting, I know you mentioned the Kindle thing, and in terms of books, I know that you have Kindle books. I guess, how's that work for you in terms of, like, publishing and building an audience? That was something I was really interested in.
It's weird. I guess for me, I got to a certain point where, I think, again, this is part of the problem with any of these things, right? Everybody thinks about each one of them in terms of, oh, I'm going to do this because it's going to help to build my audience.
Right.
And I started with that approach on Kindle when I first started with our first book, Blog to Book deal, and that thing was the biggest piece of shit ever. I mean, it honestly wasn't that good. And it showed. It showed in the results. And so the next book, I decided that I'm going to do this for the experience of creating a book, which was the Small Army Strategy. And I said, that's cool if people read it, if people buy it. But the goal isn't to put this out there so that we become more popular, we reach more people, or more people, do things. I guess there's a sense of artistic integrity, I believe, in when you create things. I think that people can tell when you create something because you're trying to have it lead to some external result. I think it bleeds through your work. It's very, like, when I read something and I think, I see it in blog posts too. I said, you basically wrote this because it's a headline that's very tweetable, and it might get shared, but really you're not saying anything particularly insightful or original. And I find this almost annoying. It's distasteful in my mind. It's like pulling one over on your reader. So the process of writing these books really is one of the things that's really informed creativity for me in general. I mean, I feel that each book is a journey in and of itself. And I mean, I love that whole process. I mean, I don't think that I do it to reach an audience anymore. I mean, it's, and of course, it's really easy to say that when you're sitting where I'm sitting. So, take that, I get that. It sounds trite, but I think there's something to be said for that. I mean, The Art of Being Unmistakable was a Wall Street Journal bestseller, but that's because somebody else who had a massive audience, bigger than any of ours, Glenn Beck, really, just something about the message resonated with him. And I was very fortunate when it came to that. But, the first week the book was out, it sold 360 copies. But that doesn't mean the book wasn't worth doing. I was like, that works. I mean, 360 copies at $2.99, yeah, you're not going to be sitting, like, in the lap of luxury. It's just, that's not where it's going to lead. It's, you're like, okay, cool. Like, I've done something. I've proven to myself I'm capable of taking a project from start to finish. And, you know, and that's really what it's about in my mind. I think that you think my approach is always projects. You know, it's not that any one thing defines me. But the other thing is, even in the process of how I will choose a project, I think about how that project will inform me as an artist and how it will make me better. You know, I think Robert Downey Jr. said, any sort of interest you take in an art form, if you're an artist, whatever that art form is, it actually benefits you tremendously. Like, so, you know, I think I've grown as an interviewer through the process of writing that book. And I think that that's really what it's about for me.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, so it sounds, I kind of like your approach on the whole, you know, like when you started this whole thing, like you were kind of dabbling and then you came upon the interviews, and now it's more about, with this whole kind of brand change, it's more about what you want, not, you know, you're really going after your desires, what it sounds like.
Yeah. And, you know, with the brand change, bear in mind, like, we didn't just launch a brand new show. We rebranded an existing show, you know, and so everything is still there. Like, it's the same listeners. It's the same people. But, I mean, even our listeners were very, very much, you know, they resonated with the brand so much because it was very clear that that's what was missing. Like, if you look at our rebranding and what the comments were, people, I mean, I got emails from people saying, awesome, I've been dying to tell all my non-blogger friends about your show, but I knew they wouldn't listen because it was called Blogcast FM. And the truth is, I mean, you know, you're on our newsletter. I don't write about blogging tips. And our show is not about blogging. It's I mean, it stopped being about that a long time ago. So that, you know, our listeners were ahead of where we were at. I mean, we honestly, like, we were playing catch up. And Greg Hartle, who works with me on the Unmistakable Creative, he told me 6 months ago, he said, I think we need to start thinking about changing the name of the show, but this is a 6 month project. I mean, what you see, although it took, you know, a month or two to really put together, the entire thing was 6 months in the making.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into, I mean, I realize this now, but just to get everything going, you know, setting up a podcast and, setting up, you have a brand new website with a nice, you know, the design is pretty nice. You know, you've got a great layout and everything. That obviously takes a lot of time to set up a whole new site, you know, if you're rebranding in that way.
Yep, definitely.
But I know there was a particular book, and I was thinking of picking it up, that you released. I think it was about building relationships with.
Relationship marketing.
Yeah, that was intriguing to me because I'm working on my first Kindle book myself, and it's basically on the same topic. And you know, I'm not putting it out there to, like, try to, you know, go crazy ranking some keyword on Kindle or anything like that. You know, like, these Kindle marketers are all about, you know, trying to find these niches and things, but more like doing interviews and then building relationships with these people and showing people the kinds of results that have come up for me because of that. So it's been kind of interesting. And you know, I'm not really sure where to go with it. I did a couple transcribed interviews and included that as kind of like a bonus for people. And now it's something in like the 25,000 word range. So it's pretty lengthy, but, you know, I'm excited about it just to see, you know, not even for the sales part of it, but just to see what kind of reception I can get from people and how it's, you know, if people are going to get something useful out of it, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. So, in terms of like podcasting, you know, you relaunched this brand, you know, are there any like struggles you really had to deal with in terms of like the relaunch and kind of changing the name, you know, making sure your audience is really still there? Like, how has that kind of transition gone for you?
Yeah, I mean, we're very fortunate that we had a very solid technical team behind us. You know, we ditched WordPress. Our friend Brad Gauthier, he basically is the main developer for Site Builder, which he's built up. And it's, you know, we've been very lucky because it's a very complicated process, to especially the nature of our site. I mean, you're talking about a you know, massive body of work that has to be translated into a very different form, and it's not like just, you know, porting over blog posts. It's audio. The first few days we were having some iTunes problems and, you know, it wasn't making the switch. A lot of people's, I mean, the way we designed it was so that you would never have to resubscribe. I mean, that was we're like, 'cause that would be a big problem. That's launching from the ground up. In our world of noise, there's no way we could do that. We didn't want to lose our iTunes reviews or any of that. But eventually it all kind of worked itself out. I mean, the thing is, part of it is knowing exactly what needs to happen. I think that too many people go into situations like that without a very clear sort of detailed agenda of these are the things that need to happen. And I think that we've been very lucky in that we, you know, minus like a handful of minor technical issues, for the most part, it's been fairly smooth.
Yeah. Now, in terms of like where you see the show going, it sounds like you're moving away more from the kind of, you know, online entrepreneur interview mm-hmm. style to more, you're talking about, you're really passionate about art. So, I mean, what kinds of people are going to really be on the show kind of moving forward, and like, where do you see it going throughout?
2014? Yeah, that's a good question. It's the one that comes up over and over again. Yeah. And I like, my answers keep coming, you know, becoming more and more vague when I talk about this, but that's a hard question to answer, because so much of it is driven by what I personally am very curious about. I mean, I'll give you an example. I think sometime next week, we're going to run I'll get an email. So, for example, this morning I got an email from a woman who I think was a PR person at a tech company, and she said, I think our CEO would be a great guest. And I said, I don't think he would, because it's really not a fit. I don't see how that's relevant to our listeners. And then another guy emailed me last week. He said, hey, I took my dog for a walk across America. I think it's a hilarious story, and I think there's a lot that I think your listeners would enjoy it. And I was all over that, you know, because I mean, that's a far more fascinating story. I mean, that's a human being who's going through an experience. So it's hard to say what types of people. But I think the narrative really is the journey of people, the journey of the person. It's not so much the how-to, business how-to, but more of, you know, a journey of a remarkable person or an unmistakable person, and kind of their trials and tribulations and you know, molding moments in their lives and the tipping points and the things they've struggled with. Because I think what it is really is the narrative is to find universal human experiences where people say, yeah, I mean, nobody in their right mind is going to walk a dog across America. That's insane. But there are components of a story like that where we all can see ourselves in it. You know, we can say, okay, you have this longing for some sort of epic quest. That's really sort of the theme. It's not, hey, go walk a dog across America, but this longing to do something crazy. I think that lies within each and every one of us. And that to me is a universal human experience. So, you know, in terms of what they're going to be, I mean, it's really hard to say. They're all over the place. I mean, they're really – that's the thing. They're all over the place, but the common thread is that, you know, they're unmistakable.
I think that's cool. I mean, that would definitely be an interesting story. I mean, and it's going to appeal to such a large audience. You know, anyone could be interested.
That's precisely it, is that it has much more resonance, because you have to remember, a lot of the people who listen to The Unmistakable Creative have no plans to start online businesses. They aren't online business owners. They are listening because they find the show entertaining and they love stories. And that's what really, you know, what it is. I mean, I am not interested in being, you know, like in the I'm not competing with the business category. That's not my interest. It's just that's not who we are, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I find that interesting. Like, I mean, in terms of, you know, as I mentioned before we started, you know, I haven't had a chance to listen to a lot of your older episodes, but I mean, you know, you've gone through 400 plus interviews, and obviously a lot of that was, as far as I know, was mostly targeted toward entrepreneurs and online marketing mm-hmm. business. I mean, was it just sort of becoming boring for you? Like, where did you kind of...
Well, that became boring about a year ago. I mean, if you look at the guests in 2013, it was pretty clear that we were moving away from that. Yeah. You know, because we realized, I mean, one is resonance, right? I mean, after a while, it's like, okay, you can only hear, there's only so many times you can listen to somebody tell you the latest, like, you know, Facebook marketing trick. I mean,
right.
That's not particularly interesting. It's, and, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's not my forte. Like, my forte is to get things out of people that they don't talk about anywhere else. That's my gift. Hmm. And that's why I do, you know, I mean, even when we talk to some of our sort of, you know, prominent online marketers, like, you know, you bring somebody like Pat Flynn on, the interesting thing is that, you know, Pat will probably even attest to this. He'll talk about things with me that he doesn't talk about in other interviews.
Sure.
Because that's what I'm interested in.
Right. I mean, I interviewed Pat, and, you know, I tried to, I know with him particularly, I came up with like a list of, you know, I actually listened to all of his podcast episodes in about 8 weeks. At the time, there was about 65 episodes. I know you were featured somewhere in, like, I think in the 70s range.
Yeah.
But I came up with all these questions, and I asked him, and I was really intrigued by, you know, the answers he gave, like, just even little stupid things that, like, I feel like no one would have asked him, or I had seen him answer anywhere. Like, mm-hmm. I bugged him about MLM marketing and things like that, which he very briefly talked about in one of his episodes out of all of his show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to hear his opinion on that. And I feel like he had never talked about it anywhere, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that, that I was happy to actually be able to have the chance to talk to him about that stuff, you know, knowing he's so popular with what he's got going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was definitely one of the more exciting interviews for me. I mean, I did want to ask you too, you know, you've done all these interviews. I mean, you must have some favorites. Like, what were some of the guests that really stood out to you that over the year, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's funny. That's a question I get asked quite a bit. And it's funny because they're never the people you would think, right? Like, everybody's like, oh, you interviewed Tim Ferriss, you interviewed Seth Godin. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, Seth was awesome, don't get me wrong. You know, my favorite interview of all time, and I've said this 100 times, is my friend Meg Warden. You know, she has this just incredible story of going through 2 years in federal prison and then transforming her life. And I mean, that's an inspiring story. I mean, it's just a journey of somebody who has been through something amazing and something really challenging and come out of the other side of it. And I mean, to me, there's a resonance there that you don't get with sort of the social media celebrity, right? And sure, finding people like her is what keeps me up at night. Like, that's what I am constantly on the lookout for things like that.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to reach out to her. That sounds really interesting for sure. I mean, I know it's funny because sometimes I'll have people on the show and I'll ask them to share a story and they like literally tell it in a sentence. And then I'm like, oh, shoot, what do I do now? And I'm like,
yeah, I mean, yeah. And that's, you know, again, that takes us back to the art of guest selection. The art of guest selection is actually very, you know, that's a big part of the art. I mean, if you like, I don't look at how other podcasters select their guests. I look at how people like Jon Stewart select his guests. That's, to me, a far different standard. Sure. Because, I mean, you know, millions of people watch The Daily Show, whether they're political or not. Like, I'm not political at all, and I think that, you know, Jon Stewart is hilarious. Like, I find what he does fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's definitely, you know, obviously looking at it from that perspective. And I know, I mean, just interviews in general, I figured for me it was, you know, the fact that you could kind of help people and then learn at the same time. And, you know, it's funny because I recently started doing this little gig on Fiverr. I decided to put out a gig on Fiverr just to see what would happen and do written interviews with people, not on the show. I'd post them as a blog post on like a separate category in my blog. And I've had some really like people have written these like 1500 word guest posts for my, you know, for this little Fiverr gig. And some of the people have had really interesting stuff to say, and I never would have found them otherwise. And it's just, you know, interesting to be able to help people and then see some of the stories coming out of them.
Right.
I had, you know, one fellow, he did clothing and shared that, and it sent tons of traffic to my site more than any other person that's ever been on my show. And I was like really shocked that, you know, out of all the people.
And that's the thing, right? You can't, that's the part. I think that people are under the impression that there is some predictable formula, and that's what gets us into trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I my kind of fix for the interviews was the, you know, the whole shiny object thing, you know, jumping around from one thing to another, being wanting to be involved in so many things and finding that with interviews, I could still kind of do that and then focus and make the interviews the focus, but still be so interested in what everyone's doing. And
sure,
you know, I found that to be one of the better things, but I always feel like at the same time, like there's this world of, you know, you look at these entrepreneurs like Pat Flynn, and then I feel like there's this whole other world of these people that are kind of, you know, like launching products over on the Warrior Forum for $7 and they're having success with it, but it's like they're in this whole other little world of themselves.
Right. Right.
I feel like it's like a complete different world of people, you know, when you compare the two types of these bigger entrepreneurs who have these huge followings. But in terms of, I'm trying to think what else I wanted to ask. I know we've talked podcasting, Kindle, you know, like what are some other projects that you've been working on in terms of the show? I mean, you've got books. I know at one point I remember in your mailing list a while back, I think you had done a webinar and then launched a product, I believe. I don't remember the name of it.
I don't think I have any, like, I haven't done any big information product launches. I mean, it's just kind of not really my forte. I'm not good at it, so I don't do it. I'm not really, like, I've realized I'm really not interested in the business of teaching people how to start businesses. I'm just, because I have, you know, I'm not good at it. I mean, I'm not, that's not my calling. The real, probably the biggest project I'm working on at the moment is the Instigator Experience. And that's our event that's coming up in April. And so what it is, it's a 2-day event, which you know, I mean, you could call it a business conference, but even the tagline is, this is not your typical business conference, because it's a business conference, but it focuses on creative elements. I mean, it really, we specifically had an application process so that it didn't replicate, you know, sort of an online marketing event. I was like, you know, this isn't an event for marketers. It's an event for artists and creative people and people who are working on interesting projects. And those projects range from people who are doing education related stuff to people who are doing charity related stuff to people who, I mean, in some cases have online projects. I mean, it's a mix. Like we purposely went for the most diverse group of people possible. And that's very much by design. I believe very much in that cross-pollination leads to interesting things. And of course, the result of that is I think that overall everybody benefits the more diverse the audience is, because, you know, Robert Greene once told me, he said, the analogy is biodiversity. The more species there are in an ecosystem, the richer the ecosystem is. And that never, that effectively informs so many things I've done. You know, the way I choose my guests, probably that you could say that might be the one and only thing. That's kind of useless in terms of something tactical. Like nobody could really think about that. That's very much a personal thing. Like you're building an ecosystem, and what do you want that ecosystem to be? And mine is I want mine to be very rich.
Yeah, no, I think that's really interesting. And I mean, I heard just in terms of like the picking guests and talking about, you know, hearing a lot of, you know, seeing the same people like on a lot of different shows. I know it was probably maybe a month or two ago, Derek Halpern of Social Triggers posted on his Facebook that everyone and their grandmother now has a podcast. And
yeah, that's huge. Yeah, I don't disagree with what he said.
Yeah. Did you see what he said? What he
posted? I mean, I wrote a post in response to it titled "The Mimicry Epidemic." And he's spot on. He's honestly not wrong. I hate to say that. It's disheartening to hear that for a lot of people. But it's true. He's got a point. I mean, you're competing in a sea of noise, and there's no way that your ability to be distinctive is going to be, you know. Like, you're not going to be distinctive by copying what everybody else has done. Right. It's, you know, and that, you know, even I look at this and people have just put different faces on their podcast. And I don't know. I honestly disagree with the notion that everybody should have a podcast. I think there are some people who shouldn't, because they're just filling airspace. And honestly, one, possibly nobody's listening. Two, if they are, they're thinking, why am I listening to this? And that's harsh.
Yeah.
But it's true. I mean, you have your talents in certain things. I think that, hey, just because somebody like Pat says you should do it, I'm going to go do it. And Pat's had success with it. I don't think that that's going to be the result for everybody. And Derek is spot on. It's Derek called out something that I think has been on a lot of people's minds. What's funny is half the people who followed, who commented on that thing, are starting podcasts, and it probably pissed them off. It sucks, right? It's a little bit like, so here's a better way to think about that, right? Like, we've got a lot of very talented people in the Unmistakable Creative Listener community, people whose talents, sure, you know, like extend across multiple art forms and genres. And maybe they're calling, you know, Amber Ray told me something. She said, one of her friends said, you know, your calling and the expression of your calling are not the same exact thing, but maybe the expression of somebody's calling is not a podcast, but they'd be better off making a film or writing a book or, you know, painting. Like, that's what drives me absolutely insane. That to me, that's your way out of this mimicry epidemic. So that's kind of my thoughts on it. It's not, like I said, it's not inspiring, but that's the way I feel about it. And I think it's the first time I've been very brutally honest about it.
No, I think it's good. And I mean, because it's a topic that's, you know, in the past like few months, it's kind of like, you know, gotten to me. Like when he posted it, I was actually, I wasn't so much the fact that he, you know, the advice that he was giving, but when I started my show, I was listening to a webinar that he was hosting, and something he said was, you know, popped an idea into my head of, I want to connect with people and build relationships with lots of people, and interviews are a great way to do it. So it was like, he was the one who gave me the idea to start doing the podcast. And then here he is almost a year later saying, you know, pretty much calling, you know, someone like me out, you know, is saying like, you got to be more creative. And, you know, initially I started doing my show as just, I had my domain branded as myself, as just my name. And I was trying to use some weird like technique. Like I called my show the testimonial technique, and I was trying to, intrigue people to leave testimonials for the people who I had on my show. It really didn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, I was trying to come up with something unique that people would like catch on to, and it was just too confusing. And
yeah, I think that you're hitting on something that, like, the system can't be gamed. You know, that's the part. Everybody wants to game the system, and yet it can't be gamed. That's the unfortunate truth. I mean, we've been at this for 5 years, man.
Mm.
Like, that's the reality of it.
Yeah. I mean, my thought was, you know, how can I take some of the stuff I've been doing? Like, in my case, you know, my brand, like, the name is so generic. You know, I could literally have any kind of person. You know, I had a girl on who, you know, she started like a dating website by handing out these like business cards with numbers on them, and people can go put in the number on a website and it like links to the person who gave you the card. And it was really interesting, but it still can relate to marketing and how they're promoting it. So I've had all these different guests and people who do all these different things, but it's not very focused. And I've tried to figure out, like, do I really want to niche down? Like, some people are launching these podcasts where they're really like niching down into something specific. But in my case, like, I'm helping this vast range of people, but it's also very broad. So I don't know if that's really bad. You know what I mean?
Here's my take on it. I think that the problem is that everybody defaults to just interviewing people. That's what drives me insane. It's like, well, you know that that's not the only – by the way, you should know, with one exception, the most popular podcasts in iTunes are not interview-based shows. The ones that millions of people listen to don't interview people. They tell amazing stories. Like, you listen – I mean, Leo Laporte being an exception, but he's kind of in the business. But go look at the entertainment category. Like, This American Life is not an interview-based show. Snap Judgment, not an interview-based show. Freakonomics, not an interview-based show. Those are the top three podcasts in iTunes. Something to think about.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's more for me. I've been thinking, like, how do I take what I've been doing and then change without making some sort of, like, drastic, like, you know, kind of, I guess, in a way, doing what you just did, you know, because I don't, obviously, well, for me, you know, it's so like, do I want to start over, you know?
There's something called loss aversion at work here, right? Like, you got to consider, is the risk worth it? I mean, and again, you know, the way we did it was very different than what people, like, we didn't lose our audience in that process. If anything, we basically just created something that was more in line with who they really were.
Yeah.
Right. So we're not, you know, we're doing something different, but the thing is, we were doing something different long before, you know, the face of the whole thing changed.
So, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is a landmine. We could be talking about this for hours.
Oh, I know. I mean, and that's why, like, you know, I've tried to think, you know, something that I've been talking to, I mean, and we could probably even talk offline. I don't know if it'll necessarily apply to what it is that you're working on now, but thinking about ways that I could like bring more community together in terms of podcasts to help people that are looking to learn specific topics. You know, if I've thought about, you know, the fact that if someone goes out there looking for something, there's a particular show host. I don't know if you've been on his show, Mike from Maine, Mike Thomas.
No.
He basically does a daily interview show similar to kind of a John Lee Dumas style. And, you know, he interviews all product creators, and every day he sends out an email to his list about some new product creator interview. You know, one day it's Kindle. The next day it could be Facebook ads. The next day it could be SEO software. And then we've got other people like Pat Flynn he's sharing his topics, and he's doing, you know, interviews with people like such as yourself and lots of other people. And we're picking up all these different things. You know, I met, you know, got introduced to all these other people like Corbett Barr, and started following people like Lewis Howes after listening to his show, seeing all the incredible things they're doing. And there's so much to learn from all those episodes. I thought, you know, what if there was like a central hub where someone could go and they could say, well, I want to learn about this. Like, you know, I want to learn how to organize my life, or I want to learn how to build an Amazon niche site, or I want to learn how to, you know, do really well with email campaigns and autoresponders, you know, and then they could go through and then filter that down and then see episodes from not only shows that I've done, but shows from all these people, you know, in a way to give more information and kind of help everybody.
Yeah, I mean, there's any number of ways you could go with this, man. Yeah. I am not, you know, I again, you know, now we're into territory that I don't know anything about, and it's kind of out of line with who I am and my brand.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, for what you're doing now with this change you've made, it sounds like you really have gone in a, you know, you've gone in more of a like a passion direction with what it is you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that direction was, we were going in that direction already, you know?
Yeah. That and the audience was all, obviously you have the audience, so it's not like this change is going to be like, oh my God, why has he done this kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, and that's interesting. You know, I started another like side podcast, and I think my fault was that I put in some music, and it's probably copyrighted, but I'm super into like this particular very niche specific genre of metal. Uh-huh. And I found this like emptiness in what people were doing. I decided a year and a half ago, I started this website about music videos, and then built that out, and it doesn't really have a lot of content besides actual music videos, but there's no other sites that had anything like this. Like, it's literally for this genre of metal, it's the only site that has all this stuff. And I thought it would be cool. Like, you know, I had reached out to a musician who was like one of my favorite bands of all time. So, I mean, how enthusiastic for me to think, oh my God, I could interview this guy, and I could have him on Voices of Marketing, and he could talk about his story, and it probably would fit, but how cool would it be for me to start a podcast and start interviewing these bands and being really intrigued by, you know, and then it's more of like a passion thing.
I mean, you might have more success with that, to be honest. I mean, that's because not everybody and their mother is doing that.
Exactly. I mean, I figured there's no podcast on any of iTunes that's, you know, anything to do with this niche, but my fear was more of, getting these bands or these, you know, members of these bands. Like, I feel like with online entrepreneurs, they're a little more available, you know, like they have these websites and they're set up and they're ready to be approached, you know?
Yeah. I mean, again, like I still get turned down for interviews years later. There's still people who say no to me, and that's, you know, that's part of the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I've found the people who say no to me, it's more about going back and asking again and showing them that you're kind of real, I suppose, and not, you know, that you're not just some fluke who started a show and then disappeared in a month.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, I think it's really interesting that you've kind of like, you started in a way like where I feel like I am now, and you just decided to really change everything. I mean, what was the point when you really started, you know, kind of changing up your show? Like you said about a year ago, things started to become like, sounded very.
Well, repetitive. I think just that the very nature of the guests that I wanted to talk to was changing. Like, yeah. I wasn't interested in somebody who had a popular blog about blogging. I said, well, who gives a shit about that? That's not very interesting. And then, you know, with guests, like we had happiness researchers, we had graffiti artists, and it was, you know, we're starting to, part of it was paying attention to what's resonating with people.
Sure.
And we knew, we're like, okay, what resonates is something very, very specific and very different than, you know, what you might think. And so that's just, I mean, that's kind of the way I've gone with it. I mean, it was like, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, is paying attention to what's happening. And then also understanding that, you know, I'm not doing things because I'm looking for, like, I don't interview somebody so that they'll share the interview and the interview will go viral. Like, I canceled an interview with somebody who's a really, really big name. And I'm not going to name that person, but I basically said, you know, it's like, not interested. Just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
That's not what we're about. And that's really what it is that, you know, you realize, hey, I'm a storyteller and this is much more fitting.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that, just going through, I think it was like a section of a training once about copywriting and things like that with sales pages. And they talked about how intriguing when it comes to storytelling, like that the people love that, and you know, that people mm-hmm. are so engaged whenever it comes to telling stories. And I've always found that to be true with anything, you know, people always love that kind of stuff, you know? So I think you're definitely going in the right path, you know? Mm-hmm. But what else did I want to ask? I know, I wish I honestly have listened to more of your shows. It's just been this past couple months. I mean, I know I told you yesterday, I thought our interview was yesterday. I thought it was Tuesday for some reason, the whole day I'm thinking it's Tuesday and here I am and it was Monday. Like, my mind's just been racing crazy because I'm working on so many things at once. But let's see what else would be good. Here you are. You've done 400 interviews plus, and you've got a new brand. Done some Kindle books. You've got a live event coming out. What are some other things that you've been working on? I mean, over these past few years, I mean, was there any, I guess when you got started, you know, like you went through this course, Create Awesome Interviews, like how did you stumble on a lot of that?
I'm a contributor to that course. I didn't actually go through it.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I mean, I think the overwhelming majority of projects that are relevant, I think we've talked about, I mean, there's a lot of sort of just landmines in my past and things that I've left behind. Yeah. But a lot of it was just dabbling, man, trying things and, you know, watching them fall flat, watching some things resonate a little bit. And that's what I think it's all about.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I figure we've covered a lot. I mean, it's been about 40 minutes. I haven't eaten dinner myself, so.
No worries.
Yeah, but I really appreciate you coming on. I mean, I think I've learned a lot even for myself just having you come on the show, and you know, I look forward awesome. To staying in touch in the future.
Cool.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.